have Veronica. She does such a good job with her worship leading. And maybe we don't say that enough. Maybe we don't say it enough about a lot of people in this church. We're just so blessed. Thank you. When we come into this place, we remember the most important thing for Jesus, and that's friendship. The most important thing for Jesus is relationship and friendship, and that's what this place is about. This place is about friendship. Now, to unpack that, there are three kinds of friendship that are important to Jesus. Friendship with who is a question. The first aspect of Christian friendship is the friendship that we have with each other in this church and in our families. Jesus said, love each other. And it was so important for Jesus that we love each other and that we have this kind of friendship. When you look at photo albums, people don't even look at photo albums anymore because everything's on the phone, everything's digital. Do you ever look at your old photo albums, and when you remember people of the past or even people that are still alive, you don't remember how much money you had in the bank when you look at old pictures, and you don't remember how big your house was. You don't remember the nice cars. You remember the people. Like, you just, looking at old pictures, you know what the most important thing in life is. We talk about this at funerals all the time when we lose someone we love. It's the most important thing is the relationships that we have with each other. And we know that it's true because when someone you love is hurting, if you had $1 million in the bank and someone you love is hurting, or even if their life is in danger, you would give that $1 million away in a heartbeat if you could save the person you love. Like, it gives a perspective on what's important in life. And what's important in life is the relationship that we have with each other, the loving friendship that we have with each other. And some of you know what it's like to have a wayward child or someone that's sick, and you just think, there's nothing more important. I will give anything I have to save that person. And suddenly you realize that's the most important thing. And this place, this building, but also this community, is first about that kind of friendship. And it was so important to Jesus. And we remember Jesus talking about investments. Jesus talked a lot about investments. What are you investing in your life? Why invest in things that aren't going to last? Why invest in things that fade and rust and perish? He said, invest in relationship, because relationship is eternal. And so, we try to create a place here that intends to begin and then nourish this kind of friendship. It's so important for the leadership of this church to build a place that nurtures that kind of friendship. We ordained, as you might remember, and unfortunately there are some things we can't do at the 9 o'clock service, but we mentioned the people who became new elders, and it's a huge part of what it means to be a new elder, is to nurture, to create a place where that kind of friendship is nurtured, so that when people come into this place, they think to themselves, here are my friends. Here is where I belong. And that's why we try to get people plugged into things that we do here. Because there's no better way to build friendship and relationship than just to get plugged into stuff. A little night music. Like, we started rehearsals. We never thought we were going to get even close to performance. We always peak right at the last minute. Don't we, Mandy? Yeah. But, I mean, the fun of just taking part, you develop relationships and friendships. And so many of them, the BBC is coming up, some people, whatever group it is in the church, you know that that's true. You get plugged in and you develop relationship and friendship, and it was so important to Jesus. And when we talk about coming into this place and remembering what the most important thing is, we remember relationship and friendship, that's the first part. That's the first component of a Christian understanding of friendship, is that friendship that we have with each other. The second part. Now, this is the kind of teaching that if people first came into a church and they'd never been into a church before, they'd think, wow, you really believe this? So, yeah, that's what Christians believe. Here's the second part of Christian friendship. That we have friendship with the creator of the universe. We have relationship with God. And as strong as all your other friendships are, the friendships that you have in this church, the friendships that you have on the golf course or at work or at play or wherever else you have, it doesn't come close to the friendship that we have with the Creator of the universe. The Bible talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. We know that. I talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is for you and for me is the presence of God's friendship with you. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit that comes up alongside and walks with you. Before Jesus left, he said to his disciples, I call you friends now. I call you friends. And we sing the old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. And then Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes after I leave, the Holy Spirit will come up alongside you and be that kind of friend. Why would you call the Holy Spirit a friend, Jesus? And Jesus said, because the Holy Spirit will do all the things that you would expect a friend to do. That's why Jesus called the Holy Spirit a friend. I find this so fascinating. If you would if you brought a Bible, open it up, take a Bible out of the pew if you didn't bring one, in Luke chapter 4, this is page 1596, if you want to just open up. I just find this fascinating. The stories of Jesus in the Bible, page 1596 of Luke. All these stories that begin in Luke are stories about how the Holy Spirit surrounds Jesus. The phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, is seen in the stories throughout his life, over and over and over. Filled with the Holy Spirit happens 14 times in the first four chapters of Luke. If you flip back a few pages to Luke 1, verse 36, this is right at the beginning of Luke. The Holy Spirit will come on you. This is Luke talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One will be born and be called the Son of God. And then Mary sings that song that we now call the Magnificat, because she's just celebrating the fact that God is with her. The Holy Spirit comes up alongside. If you flip the page over twice to Luke chapter 3, where Jesus is baptized, Luke chapter 3, verse 22, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out, came up out of the Jordan water. John the Baptist baptized him. At that moment, heaven was opened, it says. And Jesus saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alight upon him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son who I love. With him I am well pleased. Next page, chapter 4, when Jesus begins his ministry. Chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's the well-known story of Jesus being tempted by the devil. Just flip the page once more. After 40 days in the desert, this is chapter 4, verse 14. The first thing he does is he goes to his hometown of Nazareth, and the text in Luke says he returned to Nazareth in the power of the Spirit. It's kind of like Luke, the writer Luke, is saying, are you kind of getting the drift of what I'm saying, that Jesus was in the company of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit was with him in everything he did? Everything that Jesus does is in the company of the Holy Spirit. And then the writer of Luke, he's just trying to make a point. The Spirit of God was with Jesus. And then Jesus spent his whole life saying to us, the same Spirit will be with you when I'm gone, and he will be your friend. How, Jesus, will he be my friend? I'm going to get to that, Jesus. I'll get to that. The Greek translation for our word Spirit, you know that the New Testament was written in the Greek language. So the Greek word is translated into our English word Spirit means, as I've said, it means the one who comes up alongside. Isn't that just a great image? The one who just comes up alongside. And this presence of the Holy Spirit is God coming up beside you and saying, sometimes I know that you think you're alone. I know that. Jesus said, I was human. I know what it's like to be human, and I know what it's like to feel alone. But please remember that you are never alone. The Holy Spirit comes up alongside you. And this is the friendship of God with you. As important as the friendship that you have with each other in the church, and even the friendships in your family and the loving relationships, there is no more important friendship than the friendship you have with the creator of the universe. Well, Jesus, what exactly does the Holy Spirit do in our lives so that we can look at the Holy Spirit as being like our friend? And Jesus said, well, what do good friends do for each other? And you can think, you can just imagine your best friend sitting right beside you. What does your best friend do for you? And Jesus says, God will send the Holy Spirit, and he will be your helper. Isn't that great? It's such a simple word. Anybody need some kind of help in their lives today? Jesus is just saying, look, there is a presence that comes up alongside, and that presence will be your helper. Do you know the guy you call up in the middle of the night will just come and do anything for you? Do you know when you're on the side of the road, you've got car problems, and you have someone you can phone, you can just call them, and you know they'll be... Do you have that friend who just gives you the shirt off his or her back? And Jesus is comparing the Holy Spirit to that kind of person who will help you. That's the first definition of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful thing to believe in. And it's even more beautiful to experience it in your life. Another definition for the Greek word that translates into the English word spirit, another interpretation of that Greek word is advocate. Advocate. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. And it's a legal term. It's a legal term in the Greek language. It's like having a lawyer argue for you in a court of law. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. This movie about Jackie Robinson, who was the first black player in the major baseball major leagues, 1946, first black player. I forget what the movie's called, but it's about Jackie Robinson. And he would get booed at every single game he went to. Like, the stands would be filled with thousands of people, and they'd be booing him because he was black. And in this one scene, it's a powerful scene in this movie, where there's a line drive is hit, and Jackie Robinson goes down to get the ball, and it just goes through his legs. He makes an error. And these thousands of people are just yelling at him and jeering him, and he's just standing there humiliated. And then the shortstop, whose name was Pee Wee Reese, 1946, the shortstop, who was white, comes over and just stands beside him, puts his arm around him, and they just face the people, just standing there. And Jackie Robinson says in that movie that gesture not just saved his career, but saved his life. And it's a way that we can think about the Holy Spirit. Luke uses that word, and it's translated as spirit in the English language, but it's from the Greek word meaning advocate. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit, even when we make mistakes, even when we should have had that ball and it went right through our legs, the Holy Spirit will still advocate for you. It's a beautiful way to understand. And Jesus says, look, this is important. Jesus surrounded himself with people, 12 disciples, who knows how many disciples there were with him, but the importance of that human community was huge for Jesus. But as important that was, Jesus says, please understand that the relationship that you have with your Creator is the most important thing. Whatever it is we have to battle our way through, be it sickness or failure or loneliness or poverty, the Spirit comes up alongside. It's our helper and our advocate. Second thing that the Spirit does, and this is the last thing I'm going to show you about. Jesus said this, the Spirit is your counselor. God will send the Holy Spirit and he will be your counselor. And he will lead you into truth. How many times do you think to yourself, every day, I'm not really sure what to do about that situation? Like, I just wish God would sort of give me instruction on a piece of paper that was just clear so that I would just know what to do. I could just read it, and then I could just know exactly what to do. And Jesus said, look, life is never that simple. But Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will guide you onto certain roads, onto right roads. It's such a beautiful thing to believe and then to experience. Now, if truth be told, sometimes being led into truth is not an easy thing. Have you ever had your best friend sit you down and say, listen, I'm worried about you. Do you think that maybe you're drinking too much and you just get all mad, but you know he's right? Best friends sometimes have to say things in order to lead their friend into truth that are really difficult. Do you think that maybe you're working too much and that maybe your wife is just missing you around? You just get all mad because, like, what are you talking about in storm mode? But you know he's right. Jesus said the Spirit will lead you into truth, and sometimes that's not an easy thing. Sometimes it's not an easy thing. Here in this church, we ask some hard questions. Like, we have to look at our future and try to discern who we should be and where we should go and what God wants us to do. In a culture that is consistently turning away from anything to do with Christianity. And sometimes God will turn us in down a road that it's a difficult road. This is what we need to do, but it might be really difficult. But isn't it good to know and to believe that Jesus promised the Spirit of Truth will come into this place and lead us to where we need to go in the midst of all the uncertainty that we live in? Here's the third. This is the last part. There's three parts of Christian friendship, relationship that we have with each other, and then the relationship that we have with God. Here's the third part, so important to Jesus, and that is seeking friendship from people outside of what we do. Seeking friendship with all people in the whole world is what Jesus sought to do. Now, most scholars would say that Jesus was never more than 200 miles away from Nazareth, which is an amazing thing. But Jesus taught, go out to the ends of the earth and try to befriend all people, because God is a God of all people. As I have loved you, Jesus said, now you love each other. And when Jesus said each other, he didn't just mean the 12 disciples. He just didn't mean the people that were in his circle. Each other means go out into the world and try to unify people. Try to unify people. Be transformative somehow. And it's hard. It's hard Jesus, I don't know if I have the strength to do that. I don't know if I have the skill to be able to unify people. How do I do that? And Jesus says, these things can be hard. And if it was only up to you, it would be impossible. But I leave you the Holy Spirit. Remember, I said the Holy Spirit will help you. Look at this. This is from Acts chapter 1. This is the last thing the Holy Spirit does for us. Gives us power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What does God want us to do with the power that how are we empowered by the Holy Spirit? We're empowered to go out into the world and make a difference. That's what power is for the Holy Spirit. I want to give you the power to be able to go out and just make a difference. Change the world for good. That's what the Holy Spirit will empower you to do. And in Acts chapter 2, by the way, this is Pentecost Sunday. And on Pentecost, I don't know if you know that story. It's Acts chapter 2. The disciples were gathered, and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, because that's the promise that Jesus made. And they were just waiting. We don't know how exactly long they waited. They might have waited a long time. And on this day that we now call Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and Luke is the writer, and Luke writes really melodramatically, tongues of fire came down upon them, and they were able to speak in different tongues suddenly. They were able to communicate to all people of the world. They were able to speak in new and different languages. And the point of that is that now the world becomes unified, and all people can communicate with one another. And the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, just wants us to find a way to do that. Bring people together. All people are created in the same image. Ian and Taylor are up this weekend. Ian's playing up at the Village. I think he's coming to the 10:30 service, and he's going up to play for a couple of hours. And Ian's a big Star Wars fan, so we were talking about Star Wars last night. He's still a big Star Wars fan. And we're talking about why people love Star Wars so much, and it's, you know, the classic good and evil. People love that. And Ian said, I think it's the idea of force. In a secular world, there is this idea of a force being with people that helps them. And for people who have never heard that before, for people who aren't Christian or who had never even heard that there could be some kind of a presence with you that helps you, they love it. People love it. People imagine it. Like, in their minds, it may be make-believe, but it just draws them this idea that there is a force in the world. May that force be with you. May that force help you. And that is make-believe Star Wars. But for all the writers of the ancient scriptures, and for Jesus, and for the prophets before Jesus, the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in our lives is real. It's not make-believe, it's real. And all the good things that happen at this church happen because the Holy Spirit is with us. All of the things. It's because the Holy Spirit helps us and leads us onto right roads and then gives us a power to try to bring people in and communicate to people that we're all the same. We're all the same. Which is what any real friend would do when you think about it. Help, guide, unite. Except this friend is the power of the Most High. The power of the Most High. This friend is a God who created life. This friend is the God who raises the dead. Like, if God can do that, what can God do for us? What can God do for us in this church? Maggie was in the show last night. Kimberly said, do you want to come and sing on Sunday morning? Maggie said, sure. So come on up. Right now. And we'll invite the band to come up and share it. We love this song. We'll share it with you now. We'll take up an offering.
You guys have to sing too.